Well, that makes me wish I was preaching on Amazing Grace. Joshua chapter 4. Joshua chapter 4. I have to tell you this. Well, I don't have to tell you, but I am going to tell you. I'm a little tickled this morning. I don't know why. You guys just look funny today. Your reactions and things have gotten me tickled. And I've already been told this morning that somebody is disappointed. Usually they wait till after the message for that. So I asked him, I said, well, why are you disappointed? You know, they just walked in the door and they said, I'm disappointed. And apparently they came up here yesterday for church and nobody was here. So they called a friend of theirs and said, hey, how come nobody's at church? And they said, well, it could be because it's Saturday. So I'm glad you're here today. Tomorrow, of course, is Memorial Day, originally known as Decoration Day. It was started after the Civil War to remember those who had given their lives in that war. And since then, it's been expanded to remember all those who have given their lives in service to our country. And even beyond that, we remember our family and friends who have gone on before us. But the idea of memorials is not new. There were memorials in the Bible, very early in the Bible. As a matter of fact, the rainbow is a memorial. If you remember, God said, I'll put the rainbow in the sky so that I will remember and so that mankind will remember. So even it is a memorial. But I want to talk about one in Joshua chapter 4. God had the nation of Israel establish several different memorials. Some were structures, some were feast days, holy days. A lot of the holy days that they had were for memorials. But we're going to read about this one in Joshua chapter 4. I'm going to read the first 7 verses and then skip over to verse 19. And it came to pass when all the people were clean passed over Jordan that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe of man, and command ye them, saying, take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel out of every tribe of man, and Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take ye up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, which is passed over Jordan. The waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. Now look at verse 19. And the people came up out of Jordan on the 10th day of the first month and encamped in Gilgal in the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, when your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean these stones? Then you shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until you were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us until we were gone over, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. I want us to look this morning. God had Joshua get these 12 stones and build some sort of a structure out of them as a memorial and as a teaching tool. Verse 6 says that this may be a sign among you when your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? He wanted people to look at this memorial and remember some things and then use that to teach their children some things. And I want to try to notice what that was supposed to be this morning. First of all, God wanted them to remember the parting of the Red Sea. Verse 23 says, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us until we were gone over. The parting of the Red Sea was deliverance from slavery. You know the story, the Israelites were in slavery. They were slaves in Egypt. They served one master. They served the Pharaoh. The generation of Israelites that God delivered had known nothing but slavery. They were born into slavery. they were unwilling slaves. They may have desired freedom. They may have even tried to attempt to get freedom in some manner, but Egypt was too strong for them. They were too unorganized. They were too unskilled in the ways of war. They were unprepared. And so, although they may have wanted freedom, they didn't have freedom. Only God could bring them freedom. So when they remembered the parting of the Red Sea, they remembered that God had delivered them from slavery in Egypt. We don't like to think of ourselves in this manner, but we are all servants. We're all slaves. And just like the people of Israel, we all serve one master. Matthew 6:24 says, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." Mammon in this case means all the things of the world, and in particular it means Satan and sin. So the Bible says we serve either God or Satan. Now, we don't, you know, that's just uncomfortable, isn't it? We don't like that. As Christians, we're okay with it. I serve God. I'm all right with that. But those who aren't Christians, for the most part, those who aren't Christians would never say that they serve Satan. But we do. And that there's a difference between us and the children of Israel. The children of Israel were unwilling slaves. They had no choice. Now listen closely. We are willing slaves. We choose our master. Romans 6:16 says, "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves as servants to obey, his servants ye are whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness." We yield ourselves servants. We choose our master. We can choose sin unto death, or we can choose obedience unto righteousness. If we choose to serve Satan, and he's only one of the two choices, God or Satan. If we choose to choose Satan, that leads to eternal death and hell. If we choose to obey God, that leads to righteousness now and eternal life in heaven. But we make the choice. Sometimes we make the choice by not choosing one. Oftentimes people will come to our services who are unsaved, and I happen to know that they're unsaved, and they will leave the service unsaved. And by not choosing Jesus, they're choosing Satan. We would never say that, but that's the truth. That's the way it happens. We are willing slaves to either God or Satan. Now, if you're a Christian, you have a Red Sea moment. You can remember a time in your life when God delivered you from sin. At some time, if you're a Christian, you confessed your sins to Jesus. You asked Him to forgive you. He forgave you of your sins. And when He forgave you of your sins, He delivered you from slavery to sin. That's your Red Sea moment. Only God can do that. Only God can forgive sin. No one else can. No thing else can. Only God. And so God calls on us to remember as His children. God calls on us to remember our Red Sea moment. We need to remember it so that we can teach our children, tell our children. We need to remember it so that we can tell the world what God has done for us. And we need to remember it so that we can be thankful that God has delivered us from sin. God also wanted them to remember the parting of the Jordan River. Look in verse 22. "Then you shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land, for the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until you were passed over." It was the Jordan River that stood between the Israelites and the promised land. God wanted to deliver them into the promised land, and so He parted the Jordan River. The parting of the Jordan River was deliverance to the promises of God. It is sin that separates us from God. If you are not a Christian this morning, the sin in your life, I'm not trying to condemn you, but listen, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the sin in your life separates you from God. When we confess that sin and ask Jesus to forgive us, He delivers us to a relationship with Him. He delivers us to the promises of God. I hear people say this occasionally, and I heard it just the other day. Oh, yeah, listen, we're all the children of God. You know what? That's not true. I hate to say that. I know it sounds narrow and almost bigoted and misguided, but it's not true. We are not all the children of God. We are all the creation of God. But only those who have accepted Christ as their Savior are His children. Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5 says, "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." When we're redeemed, we're delivered into the family of God. When we confess our sins and He accepts us, we accept Christ as our Savior, He delivers us into His family. We are adopted into the family of God. Romans 8:15 says, "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." That word Abba is an intimate term. It's like our term daddy. So that when we accept Christ as our Savior, God becomes our Father. He adopts us into His family, and we have an intimate relationship with God the Father and with Jesus His Son. Not only are we adopted into the family, delivered into the family, we're delivered into an inheritance. Romans 8:16 and 17 says, "The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit," that's the Holy Spirit bearing witness with our spirit, "that we are the children of God." Now listen, if you're not a Christian, you don't have the Holy Spirit, therefore you are not a child of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Part of our inheritance is eternal life in heaven. I'm getting that age where I'm beginning to think about retirement. And I know most of you are thinking, I probably should have been thinking about it quite a while before, but I wasn't. And so occasionally Sharon and I will talk about it. She always gets nervous when we talk about retirement. And we talk about being prepared. Do we have enough? Are we going to have enough money to retire? Listen, I want to tell you about my retirement package. Can I do that for just a minute? I'm going to walk on streets of gold. We value gold, don't we? Oh, man, if you've got gold, if you've got money, if you've got this, man, you can retire, you can travel, you can go. Gold is going to be so invaluable, so valueless to me in my retirement that I'm going to walk on it. I have a mansion built by the Creator of the universe. When I retire, when I completely retire, there will be no pain. There will be no sorrow. There will be no suffering of any kind. There'll be no sin. There'll be no need to lock my door. None of that. When I retire, I'm going to live eternally in heaven. Because I've accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. He has adopted me into His family and He has given me His inheritance. We need to remember that, folks. What a blessing it is to be a Christian. We're also delivered into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. If I called Donald Trump this morning, he wouldn't take my call. If I called the mayor of Blackwell this morning, he probably wouldn't take my call. But I can call on God anytime. He hears my prayers. As a matter of fact, the Bible says He is listening for me to pray. If you're a Christian, even if you're not a Christian this morning, God is listening for you to talk to Him. As Christians, we have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. He gives us strength. He gives us direction. He gives us purpose. He gives us peace. Even in the midst of all the mess that's going on in this world today, Christians can have peace. We can have joy. As Christians, we are delivered into all of the promises of God, all the promises contained in Scripture. We're delivered into those as soon as we accept Christ as our Savior. We need to remember that. Boy, it's too often as Christians we live downtrodden, we live broken, we live defeated, and we shouldn't. We are victorious. And we need to remember what God has promised us and remember what God has delivered us from and what He has delivered us to. And we need to be victorious and live that way. I'll tell you the truth. some of the Christian people that I see, if I was not a Christian and I judged Christianity by their life, I'd want no part of it. We just walk around with a frown on our face all the time, and we're just broken, and we're just barely getting by, and oh, it's just such a struggle, and oh, I have to give up this, and I have to give up that, and oh, I just... Now, is that attractive? I'm a child of the King. I am victorious. He is almighty. One of these days He's going to come and He's going to straighten everything out. And when He does, if I'm still alive, I'm going to be on His side. And when that happens, He's going to take me to heaven. I don't need to worry about anything. God's got it all under control. I don't need to worry about what I need to do. God already knows what He wants me to do. And if I'll just listen, He'll tell me. And not only will He tell me, He'll enable me to do it. Listen, Christian, we can kick back and relax. There's no stress for the Christian. It's God's decisions. It's God's power. It's God's work. It's God's will. All we got to do is just plug in and let Him take over. How nice is that? We need to remember these things. We need to remember the parting of the Jordan River that God has delivered us into His promises. And then finally, God wanted them to remember the purpose for all this. God delivered the Israelites out of slavery in Egypt because He loved them and because they cried out to Him. God delivers people today from sin because He loves people today. And when they cry out to Him and ask for forgiveness, He does that. But there were other reasons for this. I want you to look in verse 24. That all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. The hand of the Lord speaks of the power of God. And this says the power of God, that God is mighty. In the book of Genesis, early in the book of Genesis, God identifies Himself as the Almighty. God is all-powerful. God is omnipotent, we say. He has all power. He can do anything, anytime, anywhere, to anybody, any way He wants to do it, because He's God. And one of the reasons He delivered Israel, and one of the reasons He delivers people today from sin, is to prove His almighty power, the hand of God. The Israelites couldn't deliver themselves. They couldn't bring the 10 plagues on the nation of Egypt, but God could and God did. God parted the Red Sea. Only God could do that. God provided for the nation of Israel as they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. Over 1 million people. They didn't cultivate any crops. They had no water to carry with them. God directed them to water. God provided for them food. Every day for 40 years, God brought manna every day, except for the Sabbath day, for 40 years to feed over 1 million people. Isn't that amazing? We worry about what we're going to eat tomorrow or the next day, and God's got it all figured out. He's got a plan. When they got tired of manna, if you can imagine, people getting tired of something, when they got tired of that, He provided quail. I'm trying to remember what the Bible says, how high they were up, I think, 2 or 3 cubits high all over all the land, inside the camp and outside the camp of Israel, all over the place. I've heard people explain it before about how so many boxcars full of food, and it would cover the state of Texas 2 feet. And I don't know, but every single day, God never failed. God always provided. Only God can do that. Only God could part the Jordan River to bring them into the promised land. Christian, God has proven His power to us. Only God can forgive your sin. I know we try other things. We try other philosophies, we try other people, we try to buy our way, we try to earn enough money or enough fame, whatever it might be. We try to get enough power or prestige so that when we die, we'll go to heaven. And a lot of people think, boy, if you just got enough when you die, you'll go to heaven. You can never have enough unless you have Jesus. Amen. Only God can forgive our sins. Only God can give us peace. Really, honestly, only God can give us personal peace. Only God can bring us joy. Only God can make provision and direction for us. Only God can do that. We need to remember His power, and we need to tell people about His power. People are struggling today. People are lonely and they're longing to find something, to find purpose, to find direction. Only God has the power to deliver that, and we need to tell them that. We need to remember what God has done for us so that we can teach our children and so that we can tell the world what God has done for us. Memorials are for remembering. And remembering, hopefully, is for more than just recalling fond emotions or fond moments, pleasurable moments in our life. Remembering should spur us into action. Remembering what God has done for us should cause us to tell other people about God, that He might do the same thing for them. Would you stand with me this morning? Cheryl, would you come and...